welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review a dry red wine from Portugal in Dow's Val de Bonfim from Douro. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good to be here, folks.
I am also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
She's back from PTO from last week. Well, no, that was more of a sick day, or just medical leave.
Administrative leave.
Administrative leave. No, she wasn't suspended.
Like a medical leave. No. It's not really medical leave, you're administratively. You, in your generosity, allowed her the night off.
Oh, that's true. I forgot how generous you were.
Don't try to get me fucked up. Come
generous.
On.
Generous. Well, that's a short trip.
Dick. That's dick. That's grade A dickery.
I forgot you had allowed me to have the night off.
He was so generous.
No, I wanted you.
Benevolent.
To enjoy yourself. Relax.
Do you remember what I was doing last weekend?
Enjoy yourself?
I don't know.
It's enjoyable?
You don't remember what was going on?
Of course not, because it wasn't him.
Last weekend, I got my third Pfizer shot and my flu shot.
And the flu
combo.
Shot. I know.
And I said I didn't want to be on the show because I wanted to go to bed early.
Yeah.
I chugged a Gatorade and went to bed early so that I would feel good on Monday.
It's prudent. It was a prudent decision. Wise.
Why did he keep going upstairs and waking you up?
I
he kept
up.
Taking breaks from the show. He kept said, we need to take a break.
I never
it was terrible.
That. No, it was just terrible. Checking on you. I never went upstairs, you dick. Grade A dickery.
That's what he said, too. I'm just
feel like
checking.
You probably did, and I blacked it out.
No.
That's a good decision.
What we did
do you
was.
You know what he's done the past two nights?
What has he done the last two nights?
What have I done? Oh, I've passed out on the couch. That's what I've done.
And then last night, he's like, I'm not sleeping on the couch. I'm not doing it. And then he sat down on the couch and had this evil grin on his face. Like, I am definitely sleeping on the couch. You were so happy.
5 a.m. I wake up and I went, motherfucker, I'm on the couch again. Son of a bitch. I was so mad. And I went, what is it? 2 o'clock? I look up, motherfucker, it's 5:30? Son of a bitch. Not again. Not two nights in a row.
You had the orneriest grin on your face last night when you went to bed.
On Friday night, you were asleep and I was asleep. But it was like 1:30. You woke up and I just laid down on the couch thinking.
I fell asleep before 10 on Friday night.
I thought you would say get up and come to bed, but you didn't. So I slept on the couch.
No,
of course it's your fault, Becky.
Isn't it?
No. Last night, though, I was like, damn it. I wake up. But you covered me up. That was very nice of you.
Yeah. I covered you.
She's
up both
a very
nights.
Nice person.
It's true, you did. But I just wake up and I'm like, motherfucker, not on the couch.
Does that hurt
no.
your back?
Well, no, but it's still, it's the couch. It's not.
Our temper being
yes,
bed.
So, you know. That's
if
okay.
I slept the whole night on the couch, I would lose my mind. However, that would mean I got a whole night's sleep.
That's true. I heard Bo growling for some reason. I don't know why. And then he went back to sleep and was snoring. It's like, shut up, Bo. What are you doing on the couch? DK.
Yeah. Well,
you drunk again? That's what it is.
Yeah.
You're drunk.
It is.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
I wasn't drunk Friday night. Last night, yeah, I was. But Shakespearean Phil.
Was it a port night?
No.
Thank
goodness, no.
No.
They were only here for 10 minutes, and Rob
drank
a lot.
I took a tour of
bourbons?
No. It was all wine. Wine. Just wine.
A 10-minute tour?
Well, no, of California,
a 3-hour tour.
Chile, and then France. I saw London. I saw France. I was sleeping on the couch in my underpants. So,
I'm speechless at your artful linguistic skills to
it's pretty good
describe your
yes
attire.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, on tonight's show, folks, we are going to be drinking wines from Portugal. Well, one wine from Portugal. And he was like, oh, you're drinking port. No. We are drinking a dry red from Portugal.
The Triple B doesn't drink port.
And the Triple B speaks apparently in the third person now. Just saying. Are you going to do that? That'd be cool. You should do that. On tonight's show, we have, though, a wine from a port house, Dow's. Well, more specifically, it's the Simmonton family is who owns, like, Churchill, Dow's, Graham's. They own all those port houses.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they're like the Illuminati of port?
No, they only own four.
But how many do you have to own to be Illuminati?
Six.
Plus, to some degree, when we
just wealthy.
Talk about the Illuminati, it's kind of a term of derision.
And, it is.
And the port houses, it's different.
It is.
How?
Well,
it's in Portugal.
No, it's because you all decided. But I'm
No. But when we talk about the Illuminati, it's like mocking them. They're taking over the world of wine, and typically we. It's
but
a term
of derision.
How are
they not taking over the world of port?
Well, they've had this
with the Illuminati, though. Let me just say you're talking about Treasury. There isn't a bodega that they say this is the Treasury bodega. They are winemakers. They just happen to own four different port houses, but they are a winemaking family. Hmm. So it'd be like Heights owning a bunch of different brands.
You feel like they're more.
They're small yields too. They're small. It's small production. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's boutique. It's okay. It's a boutique Illuminati. Thank you.
Mm.
What'd you say?
I said you're wrong. Close enough.
Something that I was thinking is maybe they're like the Illuminati is more focused on profit, and we see them go in and bastardize wines and winemakers that we like. Perhaps this family, because they're winemakers and love port, they have kept it true to what it is.
And I think they're long time makers too. They're not late to the game taking over somebody else, like you
1912.
Said.
Is how long the
bastardizing. And they're not going in and making product. I mean, we've seen some of those houses go from 10,000 to 400,000 in 1 year. And they're more like probably logistic, whatever kind of support to get distribution and all of those things.
That's very true.
Okay.
But.
I'm glad I figured it out. I'm just kidding.
Yes, you are. This is Dow's. Val de Bonfim from Douro. Douro is predominantly the main growing area in Portugal. But
Val
de Bonfim. So it's Valley of Bonfim. Bonfim is one of their single vineyards.
Hmm.
It's a large vineyard. I can show you a picture of it, actually. It's on the back of this. There's Bonfim. See it? Isn't that lovely? And that, you know what, Scott, I've talked about single quintas.
Yes.
So Dow's has a Quinta de Bonfim.
Oh.
Okay. So, but this is a red blend of a lot of different grapes from there. This wine itself is a field blend. 50% of it is a field blend. You, Scott.
You know it.
You're going to have to change your shorts. It's a, yes. He finally got a field blend.
Well.
And then what is it? It's 20% Touriga Franca and then 30% Touriga Nacional.
It's 30 Franca.
Oh, 30 Franca.
20 Nacional.
Okay. So the Franca is, think of Franca or Francesca. It's Touriga Francesca or Franca, and the same thing. It is the Cab Franc to the Touriga Nacional, which is the Cabernet Sauvignon of Portugal. Two traditional port grapes. So, a very exciting wine. And we also are going to talk a little bit about the film industry or something that is adjacent to this.
What? I'm not going to be on the episode when you do that.
Well, no, we're just going to briefly mention something. We're not going to talk, because there's not much to talk about. So, folks, we're going
to
take a break.
Let's give it something to talk about.
No.
I have to tell you, I'm very intrigued by this wine.
Yes.
Because it is the backbone of port, but not port.
Right.
Yes.
I'm very interested.
And it's a field blend.
But I'm guessing the field blend is likely a good amount of Touriga Franca and Touriga Nacional.
What if it isn't?
What if it isn't?
So exciting.
How
folks.
Do we not know?
I know.
We don't know.
We don't know. So, folks.
What do you know?
I know. We're going to take a break.
Do you know?
Yes.
I know. Becky, do you know? What do you know? I don't know.
Hey, Scott, who's on first?
I know.
We're going to take a break, but we're back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Val de Bonfim from Douro in Portugal. It costs, by the way, $12.99 of your money, which wow. It's just cheap, quite frankly. What? It does have one review, and I'll read that, I believe.
Thank you. He's Wilford. That's a lot of words.
Wilford, it's good to have you back.
We've
missed you.
I just wanted to say hi. I'm not actually going to read the review. It's too long. But it is from the Wine and Spirits.
Oh, Lord.
I know. They gave it 94 of their points.
Well.
Yes. They're the only ones that drank it. I didn't. I've been too busy. So, Triple B, would you like to read the review? Or would you like my melodic voice to read the review?
I think that's a given.
Can you hear Bo on the...
Of course I can. The stupid dog.
And we're saying a Bonfim. Bonfim.
Bonfim.
Okay. It's been the Symington's home base in the Douro since 1912, when Andrew James Symington became a partner in Dallas. The Quinta's vines cover 184 acres, facing south and southwest above the right bank of the Douro, where the river flows under the bridge at Pinhão. Okay. About as central as you can get in the Cima Corgo. It does sound really pretty. Traditional Douro vintages have been powerfully compressed, dark kernels of fruit when young. This one is powerful in its purple, green, and black intensity. Purple grapes, mountain herb scents, and a dark tannic line of schist?
I think so.
Sure.
Schist.
That compression relents with the day of air as the wine opens up, savory, complex, and generous, still holding that powerful herbal grip. This should reward aging for 20 years or more. What year is this?
19.
Oh, perfect. Did you read the winemaker notes?
No.
So I think that I thought those were interesting. Deep ruby red color, dark fruit aromas with an apostrophe instead of just making it plural, with a distinctive rock rose floral essence.
Rock rose.
With some background notes of pine. Ugh. On the palate, there are fruit forward ripe red berry flavors wrapped in a coat of spiced tannins that give the wine structure and balance.
What is rock rose?
I don't know, but I think it's distinctive.
it's distinctive to this person's mindset. I don't know what that is either.
Rock rose is best paired with backside spice. We had that as a descriptor one time. Backside spice.
It made you chuckle.
It might have been a typo.
When you get to rock rose floral, it's either drink or hold.
Yeah,
drink.
When you say,
or hold.
Well, or a new pair of sweatpants for Wilford.
What? You know what? I've started wearing yoga pants.
To show off your backside spice.
Well, I did wear white ones, and then that didn't turn out too well. And so then I wore black ones. But then they said, Wilford, you're supposed to wear underwear under your yoga pants. But I said, then you would see the lines. And they said, we see a lot more than that. I don't know what they were talking about.
Your backside spice.
Well, it could be. So,
Douro.
Douro. The Val de Bonfim.
And what glasses are we drinking this out of?
New World Syrah?
Old World Syrah.
Old World Syrah.
And why?
Because The Riedel app told me so.
Oh.
Toriga Nacional should be drank out of. You know, I don't know what's in the field blend, but the Torrigas should be drank out of Old World Soil.
I mean, this is a really dark.
Oh, it is.
Wine.
Oh, it is.
The field blend is probably predominantly the Torriga Nacional.
You're going to figure this out, I'm sure. You're curious Franca. About that. See, now it's not so much fun to have a field blend because you don't know what it is.
Yeah. Oftentimes, when a field blend is described as a field blend, the varietals will be included in that descriptor.
I'm just glad this time they've provided you with field blend. So you're not like saying, maybe it's a field blend. It is a field blend.
How much did you say this was?
$12.99.
Breaking the bank. No, this is the type of wine we love doing on the show.
Let's smell it.
Well, it's beautiful in the glass.
Dense.
I mean, it is as dark as a cab.
Oh, yeah.
It's as dark as anything you'll put in. Mm-hmm. Put in the glass.
Mmm. Alluring aromas.
I was trying to smell for pine. And I think it is there in the back, but more in a foresty way, not in a pine saw way.
Yes,
do you
yes.
smell it at the
yes, little yeah. pine
it's
needles.
It's a very pleasant foresty. Smell.
It's faint.
In my mind, I was
foresty.
Almost like I was thinking like school industrial cleaner, but it's a very nice, very nice smell.
Well, it's also, you know, vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little bit of on the alcohol-y side of the nose.
It's like menthol, yeah.
Yeah.
13.5, though. It is a...
It's a muted nose, I think. I mean, it's not...
A little touch of blueberry and possibly... it's more blue fruit. There's some other creamy element to it.
Huh.
Okay. I wouldn't go as far as to call it dairy, but it has a creaminess.
No, it's headed that way.
Yeah.
Like a blueberry yogurt?
Sure.
Activa for your gut.
Why not?
Jamie Lee Curtis would love that. What are you looking for, Bo? Contraband?
I'm going in.
So am I.
I can't wait. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready.
Slithery, silky mouthfeel. The fruits are predominantly black raspberry, slightly tart.
I was going to say tart. There's a streak of acidity there. Yep. That I need to come back in again to decide how I feel about that.
I think it's fresh and somewhat vibrant.
The acidity?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I need to go back in and make a decision on that. Mm-hmm. It struck me. I'm not going to say it struck me wrong. It just struck me.
Bo.
It's like in that black and white silent movie where somebody gets slapped in the face and you get to see the big eyes. That's what this acidity did to me. Mm. It just kind of woke me up.
Well, it feels like it tastes like a young wine. That I think, though, it's more, you can tell the Francesca, which is a little bit more aromatic, a little bit more, it's more of the finesse grape, is more present than the Torriga Nacional, because it has a bit of finesse there. I very much enjoy the way it hits the palate and just kind of slides across.
Medium body.
The medium body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Almost schmedium. It's really a more of a lightweight wine.
Well,
and I don't mean like it's like, oh, you're a lightweight. It's more like, you know, this is softer and not a dense
especially
wine.
Especially for the coloring. You would it's expect something bigger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's surprising. It looks really dense, but realistically, it's not.
Yeah.
Now, from a flavor standpoint, there's a density of flavor there. It's
blue and black
all
fruits.
Leaked from beginning to end with this level of acidity that's good. I'm embracing it now. It did. It was so. It's not overly acidic. It's just it's so present from the second it hits your palate
it's
to
young.
The finish.
It's a young wine.
And I'm trying to remember one in the. I can't recall one that had this acidity from the beginning to the end and wasn't overpowering or out of place.
Oh, but I mean, you're tasting a little bit of the terroir there, but also it's a young wine. This is young. And I mean, this is not 20.
Yeah, age it for 20.
Yeah, no. That's a really long time.
This is stupid. No, I mean, there are wines from Douro, the dry reds from Douro, that you can do that with, but they are more in the $30 range, and they're more Torrija Nacional. I mean, they are. They're just they're structured differently. This is, I mean, this would actually do well with, you know, 3 years or so,
okay.
Maybe five max, and it's going to be, I think it's going to soften a little bit, even be silkier, but it's a wonderful bang for your buck. I mean, it's such a lovely departure. And you know, if you like, well, the flavor profile is slightly different, but it's like a very silky Chianti in a certain sense because of the acidity.
And,
now, those tend to be a little bit more rustic and a little bit more.
And the body style as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not flavor profile.
No. But you could. Comp on the acidity. I answer my own question there. Or you just answer my question there. Mm-hmm. What's a wine that would be similar to this that has this level of acidity that's not overbearing? And I would say an Italian red, a Chianti.
You know who could,
yeah, that is a good comparison.
I think so, for the acidity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who could drink a lot of this would be Steve Gibson. Because I think it has a very...
You say that almost every week.
Well, that's
doesn't
true.
He?
But Steve drinks a lot.
This is one...
It has a very high level of drinkability.
And I think my Debs would like this.
I think she would, too. I think she would like it a lot.
Yeah.
Do you like it, Becky?
I do like it. Okay. I'm surprised I do. When we were first sipping on this, I feel like at the finish, it almost goes to Spice Box. Like, it doesn't. It's like a whiff of it.
Whiff, yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I like that. Something that I was just thinking about is it's very curious to me why this wine is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Why, just like the origin of port, like why they ever started creating it, because this is so nice. I'm so curious, you know, like why they started doctoring it.
Why would you do anything with this? I think.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Because, like, I like it a lot.
Port came first.
Port couldn't come first because this is the backbone of port.
Yeah, but
this is an ingredient in port.
The lifeblood, the beating heart of Douro, of Portugal, is port. Port is the quintessential.
This is the main ingredient in port.
I know, but they
never. So this came first because
the ingredient did, but
right
the style.
That's what I understand. But what I'm saying is, this is so good.
Oh,
why
sure.
would you ever go? This is step A.
Uh-huh.
Step one. Why would you ever go to step two? Because step one is so good.
Well, it's because step two is really, really, really,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, why did they ever start doing that? That's what I'm asking.
Wonder how they got to just the idea of making the port.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, it's probably written in one of those boring books somewhere. We could probably look it up. It'll tell us.
Yeah.
Or it's
but
in
yeah,
a cave
just
on
curious,
the wall.
Like, this is very nice. Why mm-hmm. would you add, what's port, sherry?
No, sherry.
Brandy?
Yeah, just yes. Normally, it's brandy. What is it? Yes, there are spirits added to it.
You think it was just something someone drunkenly did one night?
Well, one reason why port was originally conceived, one reason is because it was more potable because of the higher alcohol. It was a sturdier wine. So, if you're transporting it earlier. In early times, a port is going to be able to handle this, that. A Burgundy
would
just fall apart.
When you said that, I thought that this might be the case. Mm-hmm. They say that port was accidentally invented by a pair of brothers who fortified the wine with grape brandy to maintain it during a trip.
Yeah.
So I can see that. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, why would you mess with this? But I could see, not to be whatever, but I can see two, like, really drunk brothers being like, hey... Mm-hmm. Let's add brandy to this so we can drink it on our whole ship trip across wherever.
A lot of like your big pumped up drinking products came from, we have to travel far away. Where do you think Indian Pale Ale came from? An IPA. That was, you're in the UK. Oh, we export or take things to, we have soldiers in India because we have a friendly occupation apparently of that country. Well, how do they make it last the journey? By hopping the shit out of it. And that's where IPA came from. Mm-hmm. And so similar to this. I mean, how do you keep things from spoiling?
Yeah, bruh. Remember last time we took that trip? Yeah, wine all got spoiled.
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to do it, man? Yeah,
I have
bro.
Some brandy.
Yeah, let's fortify it, man. Right on, bro.
I mean, that's probably not that far.
No, I seriously.
Dude.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the general, that's where it all comes from, essentially.
I like that you explained the explanation I gave.
I didn't listen to what you said. So if I explain what you said, I mean, that's really great for me. I'm very impressed with myself.
Doesn't it make it great for Becky that you explained it to her after she explained it?
The look on her face suggests no. So, you know.
Well, you are the expert mansplainer.
That's true. Well, one reason why we're doing this one tonight, first of all, I bought it. But we had someone reach out to us about, it's a documentary dealing with Doro specifically. It's called A Wonderful Kingdom. It's available on Amazon Prime or what is it, Apple TV, Apple Plus?
I think Apple Plus.
Yeah, yeah. You can check it out. It's an observational documentary.
What does that mean?
Well, we didn't know what that meant.
Well, you didn't know.
I didn't know what it meant. So we watched, Scott and I watched it last week on the computer. We got the code to watch it for free. Sorry, we shouldn't share it with you. But it's basically the camera person just followed workers around in the vineyards and in the actual winery, just watching them work without any kind of, you know, exposition or talking. There is Malcolm McDowell, though, if you know who he is, which I'm sure you do. Clockwork Orange. He's okay. And he, at the beginning of different scenes or whatever you want to call it, he read basically poetry or prose. It was prose.
From a 1950 book called Portugal, of all things.
What is it called? Yes.
So odd.
Yes.
A book about Portugal would be in a movie about Portuguese folks making Doro. Wine.
Read by a Brit. That's okay.
It's okay.
He read it with a lot of gusto. Nevertheless.
Gusto?
Gusto. Sack. He was loud. He talked very, very loud.
Well, he's slightly probably Steve.
Slightly scary.
Well,
you know, it's good work if you can get it.
Not Clockwork Orange scary.
No. Scarier.
But back to observational documentary.
Yes. We did not know what that was.
For me,
we did not know it was that. So,
but if you recall, I tried to explain that was a style of documentary.
Well, I assumed it was a style. I mean, they made the thing. I mean, you know,
it's a beautiful depiction of the process of picking the grapes. It shows the people picking the grapes and interacting. The one of the downfalls of observational documentary stylistically is. Don't really have someone talking to the people like in an interview.
No.
You're just observing them work. And it's...
Or you're watching a tractor.
There was a lot of tractor scenes.
There were tractor scenes.
But it was also interesting to see them sorting the grapes through the line back at the vineyard.
Sure.
But some input as to how they were sorting the grapes would have been useful. But apparently it's just not part of the style of an observational documentary. I found it interesting. Rob, not so much.
Oh, I thought it was lovely.
Did either of you fall asleep?
No. No, we were drinking Louis Martini Sonoma County Cab, which is good.
Oh.
And then a bottle of Pride Merlot. Half bottles. Sorry.
But two half bottles is a...
Bottle. Yeah. And we were eating...
Speck.
Speck, cheese, but then also those jalapeno beef sticks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Bo was sitting on us or between us.
He was having a good time.
He was having a good time. So
he enjoyed the movie.
He did. He did enjoy the experience of us watching the movie.
But A Wonderful Kingdom on Amazon.
Yes.
Check it out.
Check it out.
What, about an hour and 20 minutes?
Hour and 19 minutes, I do believe.
Beautiful scenery. Kind of behind the scenes of winemaking in the beautiful Douro Valley.
Yes. And so then, with what, that, what?
What did you, you have no comments on the movie?
No.
He's being very...
cagey.
Cagey. He had a lot to say.
It showed a dude's ass. That was nice.
There was some butt crack.
There was some butt gratuitous
which
nudity.
Which is hilarious because your butt crack is out a lot.
I know, but mine has not been filmed. Apparently, well, he's
that's
not going
to.
If you if true. It's observational documentary, you're not going to say to the guy, "Hey, your ass is hanging out of your pants," because you can't. You're a fly on the wall. So
there's all this beautiful scenery, and Rob's laughing out loud because there's some ass crack showing.
Well, it's just like you knew it was going to happen. You know, the guy's sitting down, you're like, yeah, that guy's ass is going to hang out. There it was. You better be glad none of those guys are flashers. They cut that out. That probably was the scene they cut out. Guy turns around and starts doing the helicopter dick.
Jesus.
Oh my God,
Jesus. Second episode humor during the first episode.
Exactly.
He can't help himself. He's waited all week to talk about this movie, and this is what you pull out.
I'm not a movie critic. What can I say? Never have they said in a movie critique, helicopter dick. They just never do
they
that.
They typically so. Don't. I don't think they do normally.
Well, they should. I would.
I've
seen some movies I'd rather watch a helicopter dick. Not this movie. Other movies, but you know. Well, nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have some listener emails or listener comments on Facebook or the like. Comments. People reached out to us. That's the gist of it.
It happens all the time.
It does. It does.
Reach out to us, folks.
Yes. But don't do a helicopter dick. We don't want that. So.
Okay.
Or don't talk about a helicopter
dick. Well, I'm just selling it.
The Triple B moderates the inbox, so just try to be a little bit appropriate. More appropriate than Robin Scott.
That's true, especially Scott, pervert. All righty. So the first message we have on the show tonight is from Alvin Del Banco. He is, let's see here. Oh, here we go. Dear Wine Vault, loyal listener here, I am fairly new to the wine and listen to your show regularly to gain experience and exposure to new wines. Well, that's great. Does he listen? Maybe he learns about some other new things too tonight.
Well,
yeah. Since listening to your podcast, I've started to decant my wines, which I never used to do. Well, there we go. That's good. And I found that doing this really opens up the wine and it tastes much better. But I've been told by my fellow winos that I don't need to decant every bottle, especially if they're younger wine or cheap wine. I would love to get your take on this. We've talked about this, sort of.
Well, no.
Nope.
We have.
We have. The fact is, every wine on this show is decanted for one main reason. So we test every wine to the same standards, starting off that. So yes, we would decant something, even though it might rot through the table. Doesn't mean you necessarily should decant it at home or even drink it at home. But on this show, we decant everything to make it all even. But with that, it is true there are some red wines, and we're talking, I'm assuming, red wines, that are better off not decanted.
And on a, probably...
cheap wines. Like they're saying, cheap wines. Cheap, inexpensive stuff. Should we have decanted, for instance, Borsal?
And no. That's the example I was going to give.
Vigna Borgia.
We have the Borsal not all the time, but it's in Princess's wheelhouse. She gets it fairly regularly. And the night after we did it on the show, she pulled out a bottle,
mm-hmm.
didn't decant it, and it was fine. It still wasn't a great wine, but when we decanted it,
mm-hmm.
I think it showed all its flaws.
Well, yeah, it's certain wines of a lower quality can't hold up to any kind of oxidation.
Yeah, right.
Oxidation. They need to be kept sealed. I mean, when they say young wines, there are wines, not necessarily a young wine, a young Châteauneuf du Pape would need to be decanted. Wines that are intended to be drank young. That's what they're referring to there. Normally that goes hand in hand with cheap wines, but there are some, you know, there are some wines that cost more that are more intended to be drank young. Should you age Bonanza? Mm. No. Should you drink Bonanza?
Mm. No.
I have a question.
Sure.
As like a rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
On decanting.
Yes.
Would you go more the fuller the body, or would you go more the price point? What would be a good gauge that you would give?
What I would say is there are boo-boos littered in all the price ranges. Maybe not so much when you go up high, but for instance, Bonanza I think is a good one to look at here. Something in a lot. That is around $20 plus. When we decanted it, it started falling apart. Why?
Did.
Because it doesn't have the structure, the girth there. The wine was very full-figured and flavored. So if you taste it straight out of the bottle, you'd go, well, this is a big, heavy, rich wine. This must need to be decanted. Ah, no. Because the wine itself is meant to be drank straight from the bottle as quickly as humanly possible, probably in shot glasses. It's the way the wine is made, or it's made in a bathtub, essentially. If you're talking about a factory-made wine, your apothecs, and quite frankly, Bonanza is no different, those things are not going to do well.
Yeah, you don't decant Meiomi.
You know, anything from wine press. Wine press makes apothec, it makes menage a trois, it makes all that shit. I don't know why you're drinking that stuff, but if you are going to drink it, for Christ's sake, do not put it in a decanter. I would suggest probably not smelling it either. And if there's another way you can find to ingest it, aside from drinking it, I would go that route.
We try to not smell you either, but deodorant, shower.
Trying to see if there was
not rolling in the cat's
like
litter box.
Like a general rule of thumb on whether or not to decant.
Well, I would say $12, but this wine does need decanting. If you're talking about, say, let's just go with McManus because it's undervalued. The McManus Petit Verdot, it didn't hurt to decant that a little bit.
Yeah.
The Zin, no, that shouldn't go to a decanter. Winte, does it need decanted? Not really. The more expensive, like the $27 one, might need a little bit. But once again, what are we talking about decanting for? Are we talking about removing the sediment? No. We're talking about oxygenating it, getting it
opening
exposed.
The wine
yeah.
up.
So the question is the wine that you're buying
of quality?
Of quality.
It really comes down to
is it
quality.
Designed or is it crafted? Which is it? I mean, I don't know. Do you know that by looking at the bottle? I might. But does your average one? No, probably not. What I would suggest is if you're buying it at the grocery store and it's just something that you picked up on a Tuesday night, you don't necessarily need to do that. But also, if it's something you buy over and over again, try it different ways. So if you
what
buy...
What did we drink? Was it Friday night when we were drinking and I asked that question and then you decanted it?
Yeah.
And it was fine. It didn't really taste much different either way.
Yeah, it's Protocolo. It's $8.99. Yeah, it doesn't...
We basically each had a glass and then you put the rest in the decanter and then we had the rest.
It tastes about the same. Mm-hmm. Protocolo, though, is a pretty sturdy wine. It's well made in most vintages. Some vintages are boo-boos.
Well, where I was going with that is for Alvin...
Yeah.
That maybe if there's a wine you drink regularly, you could drink a glass or two, share it with someone, put the rest in the decanter and see if you notice a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're drinking certain things regularly, experiment. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do it. But
$2 Chuck?
No.
No, not so much.
No.
Normally your wine's under that. In that 10 to 12 and under range, you probably don't need to decant those. However, there are some nice quality wines in a budget price point that are going to do better for by decanting. They just are, folks. It's kind of like the same general discussion of why do you need specialty glassware? Well, just because kind of sort of you do.
Well, also,
it's not to be snobby. It's just there's a reason you drink Zin.
Yeah.
In a Zin glass. There's a reason you drink Pinot Noir in a bulbous Pinot Noir glass to allow it to open up.
You know, also like cheap, if you like cheap little Italian table wine style things, the Vidianos, the Montanticos, that kind of stuff. No, you don't need to decant those things. As a matter of fact, some of those are fun to drink in like your little glass cups. That's a lot of fun. If you're Marcella's, rarely, most of the wines, you get the little tumblers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that there's other things. Little cheap Spanish wines, probably not. Also, in California, is it a California designate or is it a Sonoma or a Dry Creek or is it a Napa? If it's just a Californian designate, probably not. That probably, not that it's not going to like, a little oxygen might not open up a California cab a little bit, but the problem is it's going to fall apart the longer it's in the decanter. Yes. Those are lower quality. So, but if it's a Sonoma County cab, no, that might help it a little bit. It might do maybe 30, 40 minutes in the decanter just to open up a little bit, even if it's $17. That might help. So think about it in that term. If you're buying California wines, those are normally designed for early drinking. Also, if it says North Coast, just consider that California.
Yeah, again, it kind of sort of goes back to the quality of the wine. If you know a little bit more about it and you say, hey, this is a higher quality wine, go ahead and decant it.
So there you go, Alvin. And please.
But it's a great question. Many topics we talk about it passing all the time, but it's good to draw us out and to ask your question, and the chances are we'll talk about this many more times in the show.
And open question for all the listeners. Let us know, what are you drinking now? What are you liking? We want to know. So tell us. Reach out to us, Facebook or just Facebook. Just reach us out on Facebook, on the Facebooks.
If it's running.
If it's up, yeah.
If it's, yeah.
That's true.
Not down with the Instagrams.
Next, we have Jesse. Jesse asks, what wine have you had recently that surprised you the most? Whether it be positive or negative? That is a tricky question, isn't it? Surprised me the most. I'll tell you one that I was impressed was the Gunlatch Bunchu Mountain Cuvée.
Yeah.
That surprised me, partly because I thought it would be not nearly as... I did not think I was going to order more. Even though I thought it would be fine, I didn't think I'd say, that's so... I really, really... And it's a wine I kept thinking about after the fact. Like, Gunlatch Bunchu, Mountain Cuvée. Yeah. Why? I mean, I like it.
It'd be 2 in the morning. I'd get this call, and it's Rob. He's like, I can't sleep.
I know. Gunlatch Bunchu. Well, I mean, like the Luke Cabernet. It probably is a better made wine, but I didn't like it as much.
Right.
I don't think any of us did. You know? There's a bunch of those.
I'll tell you one that surprised me. And I wanted to like it, and it surprised me that it was good. The Sideways wine.
Oh, that is another one. Oh, yeah. The Hometown Pinot Noir.
Right.
By Hitching Post.
Yeah. The Hitching Post, too, is a restaurant that was in the Paul Giamatti... What, did he win the Academy Award for that role? Or he was nominated?
Somebody won something.
I think...
Somebody won something.
I think it won a couple things. And I don't think he won. But anyway, in the movie,
like
there's
won
a...
for something random, like the soundtrack or something. You know, like something weird.
Photography.
Yeah.
Maybe. But there's a fairly famous scene where they double date, and they're at the steakhouse, and... wine country, and it's a Hitching Post, but technically it's a Hitching Post too.
Yeah,
and that was one of their house wines that we did, and it was quite nice.
It was lovely. That is a good one.
They won for best adapted screenplay.
Which
I feel like is such a weird.
Becky,
that's a very weird category.
Can you think of anything that surprised you recently?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but something that surprised me positively would be this wine.
Oh, sure.
Especially where I do not like port.
Oh.
That surprised me a lot. One that honestly was a little bit negative, and part of it was probably that I was just like in a mood, but when we had our last bottle of Numanthia.
Oh, well.
It surprised you that it wasn't.
Negatively.
It was, I mean, it was a bottle of Termes, and it's an old bottle. It was like 2010, wasn't it? Yeah, it was 2010. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I liked it a lot, but at the same time, an aged, you know, it was showing peaks of black olive. It was slightly portish. I think that's might have been why you didn't like it. But
yeah, it was a little black licorice-y.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it was showing that. Yeah, little.
And I had asked for a Tempranillo, and I thought we were going like,
Protocolo, probably.
No, not necessarily Protocolo. Honestly, something a little bit, I don't know, brighter? I don't know.
Younger. Mm-hmm. Age discrimination here on the wine ball. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Jesse. There's some ideas right there. Yeah. And Blaine is the last one.
Paul Giamatti wasn't even nominated for the Academy Award.
And rightfully so.
I thought he was. No, he was freaking fantastic. I thought, and I thought Virginia Madsen won for Best Supporting, but she didn't either. Mm-mm. But
did she get nominated for her role in Candyman? That's what I want to know.
Who can take
this? That's not the right Candyman, my friend. Anyway, Blaine wrote, if you had $50 to spend on a red wine, what would you buy? Or how would you spend it? That's what they wrote. That's pretty easy. So one bottle. We'll just say one bottle.
That's not the question, though.
Could be.
Maybe she wants more than one bottle for her $50.
Okay, go ahead. That's 50 bucks.
Let her spend.
Fair enough.
Oh, she's so controlled.
It doesn't say that either way.
It's her $50 if she wants.
So this is a thing. The reason why I say that is because it's a discussion that we've had in our home.
Oh.
Like sometimes Rob will get gifted money for wine for like his birthday or something, and it's like, oh, do you spend it all? Like, let's say he got a $50 gift card. Would you spend that whole $50 at once, or would you buy 3 or 4 wines?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you were given a gift like that, then I would use it for a $50 bottle of wine. Is that what you all would do?
Yes.
I mean, it depends on my mood.
Yeah.
But yes. And I'll tell you the one, and it's probably, I'll have a little bit of change. But I think right now I'd go for the Mount Veeder.
Oh, yeah.
I just liked it.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I just liked it. Mm-hmm. And I think we can get it on sale for like $43 now.
Yeah.
But, you know, close enough.
I bought it.
Throw some tax on there.
I got to look hard now because
I attacked.
Attack and dominate, man. What about you, Triple B?
I don't know. The one that just immediately popped in my head, and it's me going back on the $50 bottle of wine. But, and I guess I'm kind of still a little bit on that question about something that surprised you lately. And it didn't surprise me, but it just has been a long time since we have had Ferrari Carana. We had the cab.
Oh, sure.
And Rob and I had, like, not been on the same page with wine. Like, he would pull something out, and I would be like, ugh, whatever. Or, you know, vice versa. We were both, like, not feeling the same wines. But he got that out, and it was like, oh, this is a lovely wine that we both love.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving dinner. That's what that wine is.
It was so nice.
That's stuffing and turkey and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie. It's like, oh, that's what that wine is.
They just make good wine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, I particularly love their Merlot. That creamy. It's just a different Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different.
I told Rob, I was like, I almost feel like this was a really good like wine reset for us, where we had been like, no, 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 no. It was like, oh, we can both be happy with this and then go from there.
What's your $50 bottle?
It would be.
You could probably get 2 bottles of that, right, for $50? Isn't it like in mid-20s?
34.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a little pricey.
You could get the Terrasson. That's 44. It's their Bordeaux blend.
I would never buy that.
Well, you did. You bought 3 of them.
Lord.
So, yeah, that's just the way it is.
What would you get?
At that range, that price, what I would buy would be, I would get something from Ridge, and I think their Pagani Ranch Zen.
Nice.
That's what I would do. So maybe they're Litton Springs as well.
Two bottles. Well, if I was going to get two bottles with my 50, something I haven't had in a while that is always pleasing. We love it. And again, I would come in probably slightly under my $50, but two bottles of Segesio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We love it. It's always good. Mm-hmm. It's all reliable.
I would get two bottles of the Dalles Late Harvest Vintage Port.
Okay.
Not surprised.
What about you, Becky?
I would add $20. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Well, no, what would you do then?
I would do Dry Creek Zen.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Right. Same as the Segesio. Mm-hmm. It's just...
That's a good choice.
It's just mother's milk. It's just delicious. And if you don't... Folks, if you don't know about Zens, just pick up both those bottles. You should be able to find them really anywhere in the continental United States.
I have to get reacquainted with Segesio. I haven't had it in a vintage or two.
I can't tell you the last time I had Segesio.
I feel like it was a I want like just barely a splash. I feel like it was something that we drank a lot, and it. I don't know the last time I've had it either.
Same thing with the Dry Creek. It was it was like. I think it was blood in my veins for a while. Same with the Dry Creek Fumé Blanc. I love that so much than wine I did, but so good. So just tasty.
Well, the thing about the Segesio is it's just everywhere. You see it, you see it, see it. You don't ever stop and say, oh, I'll buy that now. You always say, hey, I see that. I haven't seen that in a while. You buy something else that you haven't seen in a while. That's what I always end up doing. I mean, I'll get a bottle of Zanin. Why did I buy the bottle of Zanin? Ooh. Because Segesio is right there.
Well,
it's because I don't always see Zanin. I'm like, oh, I'll take that. Or I'll buy something from Marietta or something like that. I mean, that's what I'll do.
Segesio is like your friend, the good parent's dog. You just kind of pat it on the shoulders and you move past.
Old, reliable. So, folks,
it is.
We're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here to review the Valdez Bonfim here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Dalles Valdez Bonfim from Douro. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get up some reviews. We did not do scores of integrity tonight.
What do you mean we didn't do scores of integrity?
You did them? Why didn't you say let's do our scores of integrity, dumbass?
Geez, I'm the dumbass because you didn't do your scores of integrity.
I'll do it even though it won't count, right? Back in. Let's go.
You're doing ours?
Yeah.
We've already given clues about what we
think. I know it doesn't count. I'm just doing it to see if I'm right. Here we go. Go to the triple B. What is your numerical score?
I'm going to give it an 88. Mm. My score of integrity for myself would have been a 75. But I think this is really nice. The black raspberry is good. There's a touch of tannins in it that I like. There's some, what was the rock rose floral? I could not find that in there as much as I wanted to, but I'm a fan. It's a lot more drinkable, likable than I imagined. I don't know that it's necessarily something that I would be like, oh my gosh, guys, holy cow, I have this wine, but I would certainly drink it again, and I think other people would enjoy it.
It's alluring.
Okay. Thank you for helping me with my review.
I'm just saying.
But I didn't find the floral element either.
No, not so much.
Which is fine. Yeah. So you hadn't had the Torrigan Nacional before? You hadn't had this grape before that you recall? This right at all?
So. Okay.
Well, I've bought Douros before, but I don't know that you... because like the Quinto de Carvalhos, that's a Douro, but that's, I think, more Torrigan Nacional than it is this stuff.
I don't think I've had this.
No. If you've had it, it's more of a traditional Douro red, as opposed to this is a little bit more of a side shoot kind of thing.
So. I think so. Yeah. I think so. I really enjoyed this. The star of the show is just its easy combination of this mouthfeel that's just smooth. What was your little phrase you threw out there? Silky smoothness?
Yeah, oh, yes.
What did you say?
Yeah. I thought you meant helicopter dick. No, you didn't.
It doesn't belong in the wine review.
No,
it doesn't.
No, no, no.
Well, this wine makes me want to do the blank. You could do that, but...
you could say that.
That's how I got fired from the Wine Spectator. I wrote that in my review.
With the helicopter.
Yes, it was Turning Leaf Chardonnay. They said, no, sir. No.
But... the streaks of acidity through it set me back at first, but then it's just what the wine is. But the drinkability, high marks. I wish it had a little more tannins. I know I agree with you. I like them, but I wish there was more of that there.
Yep.
I'm at 89. I just think it's a little simplistic, or I would score it higher. It's just not the most complex thing. But for what it is, it's quite wonderful. And for the price point, value price Hall of Fame all day. I couldn't recommend something higher. I think the acidity might be much for some people. It's just stark, and it's a little different. Took me a second to adjust to it. I like it though. I'll buy this.
I did. I have two more bottles.
Good call.
Might have some friends.
Someday.
What's $12.99?
You know, if you keep working on your people skills, you might have some friends. That's true.
It's $12.99. I mean, how can you beat that? I mean, it's just such a lovely little drink. I'm gonna give this wine ultra high top of the mark.
What?
I mean, top of the mark, probably because of the drinkability. And I also think it's alluring and racy. I think the mouthfeel is spot on. It's not overly tannic simply because it is more of a finesse style. You can see it with the Torriga Francesca. The influence is there. It reminds me a little bit of like that. Remember the Cab Franc we had from Loire Valley?
Yeah.
And that was better because that thing, what was the El Soute? That thing was mesmerizing. This is extremely good. It's just like a junior version of that to me.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 90 of my points, but what? It's value-priced Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What?
I wanted to give it a 90. I just couldn't quite get
it's
there.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm saying...
And I think our range is perfect.
It's a soft 90, but it's still 90 nonetheless.
I think some people...
You're giving it a 90 because I gave it an 88.
No. No. I'm just giving it the correct score. It's somewhere between a 90 and an 88, but I won't give it an
89. I love the range.
I like it too much to give it an 89. I just, you know, it's lovely.
Becky.
You thought I'd give it a 90?
I know it.
What? What was your scores?
Rebecca, an 88, you a 90.
Well, that's why you're happy that I gave it a 90, aren't you?
No, I knew you were going to give it a 90.
How'd you know that? Do you have mind control?
Control.
It's also a pretty wine. I wish it'd be a little more aromatic. Yes, it could have better tannin structure, but I don't think that it has a lot of the powerhouse grapes in it. It's a finesse wine. And if you like finesse wines, if you like Pinot, you might like this. Give it a whirl.
Lighter style Chianti. I think that's the spot on comparison for this.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It doesn't, this has more sweeter fruit. I would give it that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have the Chianti's. Sometimes you see some savory fruit there and none of that here.
Truly a delight.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. A delight. drinker, just a delightful drinker, more of a summertime too, but
especially for how dark it is.
Yeah,
it is surprising. It is a surprising.
It's a little like the Vranic in its surprising qualities. The Vranic was a little bit like this too.
Yeah, we missed Vranic that on what was surprising. Obviously, it was a surprise for us. The Vranic was a complete surprise for Rebecca.
I'm honestly shocked you didn't do this as a blind taste test for us.
Well, that just wouldn't have been fair, now would it?
I had no idea. I would.
I only do 100% varietals. Well, at least they say that on the label.
But
the simplest things.
Do you think we could have gone to Europe?
I think you'd be in Europe. Yeah, where else would you be? Well, Scott would say Petite Sirah.
No.
It tastes like a blend.
It's just, we dial in on the acidity and
we have another drink.
We'd eventually get to the Chianti, I think.
No, I want a drink of yours. I just wanted to see if I would get to Europe. I think I would.
I think you would.
But truly a delight is, that's a, that's just a great descriptor and a great, it would have to be part of a review if we did this.
If I was tasting this, I would think it's French, probably from Loire, because I remember that. I don't know how I get there. I would think it's a Cab Franc, and I think it's from the Loire Valley. Or I also might get tripped up and say it's a Malbec, but I don't think so.
No, not enough body.
No, but there are light Malbecs. You know, they're not good, but they have.
Yeah.
I mean, light Malbecs like Alamos. It's light and it tastes like,
You know what I think this would be wonderful with? Just a light brothy soup and crusty bread.
A light brothy soup?
Yes. So not a stewy soup, but just like a...
You're an unusual man. You know that, right?
Chicken, like a avalamon. Do you know Greek avalamon with the lemon in it? Crusty bread. I think it'd be wonderful.
It would be better than whatever that Greek liqueur is.
It's, I told Phil I liked that. I didn't.
You thought you liked it?
No, he thinks I like it. But I'm not a masochist.
Who'd you tell you liked it?
Phil. They bought it for me.
Oh.
Uzo. It's a Upa. Whew. That's harsh, man. It's rough. It's rough to drink.
You're just a sissy.
Oh, please. Okay, you're going to drink it then.
What's wrong with little Uzo?
It's like black licorice. A lot.
That black bat licorice.
Yeah.
I never like it. I never will.
I don't like it. So that kind of rules me out for Uzo. Mm. Nevertheless.
Well,
so, folks, we have a 90, an 89, and a lower score that, she'll be reporting to her superiors later.
88 to 90 is the perfect range of score.
It is, comrade. Nevertheless, folks.
Comrade.
That's right. Perestroika, I knew she was going to give it something like that. That's a good score.
Well, yeah. Well,
it's a good score.
And it's fine. She may have nailed it. We may have overscored it.
No.
Correct. I do.
Impossible. That's impossible.
Impossible.
Yes. So I like it so much. I want to do the... No, I'm not going to say that. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu, but see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.